Before the election day came and went, I had indicated that I would be addressing reconciliation after the vote. I think it's so important for our nation to come together, to truly come together as one. I shared this on Wednesday, the day after the election, and for the benefit of the people who would not have been able to hear that on Wednesday, in addition to putting it on the site, I wanted to air it today as well. I want to encourage you. Let's soften our hearts. Let's soften our attitudes and allow ourselves to be empowered to come together as we work towards reconciliation after the vote.
Secretary Clinton. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, our president-elect, President-elect Donald Trump, he won very handily. And I know that, as it turned out, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. But Donald Trump won the electoral vote. And in January of 2017, Donald Trump will be inaugurated as our 45th president. You're listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And as your loyal host, I am discussing a topic that I had said I would discuss. Even before yesterday's vote, I had said that on today I would talk about reconciling after the vote. Because I knew that reconciliation would be critical. And as even though it seems like it would be very, very difficult based on the way the campaign went, I knew that it would not be impossible. And so I decided to be hopeful and optimistic that we could indeed reconcile. And so, as I mentioned, I had said on Monday, that today I'd be talking about reconciling after the vote. And I also mentioned that on this Friday, I'm planning to talk about a season of reversals. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Today, reconciling after the vote. Friday, we'll talk about a season of reversals. I had to let you hear what our president-elect shared with the country last night. With all the combativeness, with all of the vitriol that had been pouring forth from candidate Donald Trump for months, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the way he conducted himself and his acceptance speech, I think was grand. I like the fact that even though it was very clear to all of the nation, those who did support Donald Trump, those who did not support Donald Trump, that he was truly divisive throughout his campaign. Last night, very, very different tone. Very, very different words, but also a different tone. Now, I admit that it remains to be seen what President Trump will do. I admit that. It remains to be seen. But he said he wants to be a president for all of America. And that is a problem that we've had in the past. Not every person who is elected president decides to be president for all of America. That's the very reason that you so often have so many people doing very, very well financially, while the majority of America's citizens struggle. You have a lot of senators, candidates who run for Senate, and candidates who run for Congresswoman or Congressman, who should be looking out for the welfare of everyone in their state, all the citizens of their state, not just a select few, but also, as I've said before, because their decisions on that federal level impact all of America, they too should be serving all of America. Not just wealthy Americans, all Americans. Donald Trump, our president-elect, has said he wants to be president of all America. And there's no reason that he cannot follow through on what he said he wants to be, on being what he said he wants to be, president of all Americans. I appreciate President-elect Trump for the gracious way he spoke of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, talking about how well she has served this country and how we owe her a debt of gratitude. And I know some people might be saying, well, yeah, sure, he'll say that. I'm guessing now, because I don't know Donald Trump. I only know what I've heard and read over the past 20 years or so, 30 years or so. We started reading, you know, hearing about the book, The Art of the Deal, etc. I only know what most of you know. I don't know him personally. I don't know much about him. I know what I was hearing over the past several months that he was running for president. And I do know that much of what I heard was bothersome to me, just like it was bothersome to many of you. Of course, on the flip side of that, there were millions upon millions of other people who heard the same thing that we were hearing, and what bothered us excited them, enthused them, motivated them, made them feel good. It seems that candidate Donald Trump was really working hard to divide this nation, encouraging detractors, encouraging his supporters to become physically violent with their detractors during speeches, encouraging the continuation of income inequality by talking about how he would move jobs from one region to another where the wages would be lower, so that if the jobs were ever brought back to the region that they were taken away from, the people would accept whatever they were offered, figuring that a little is better than none. But he has also said that he wants to bring jobs back to America. He wants to strengthen its economy. He has said he wants to go about the business of, for example, improving our nation's infrastructure. Now, granted, he's going to have the support of the Republicans. We know that when the Republicans were running the nation during former President Bush's presidency, they refused to improve the infrastructure and instead let it continue to crumble. When President Obama was president, the Republicans, who were running the Senate and the House after those first 2 years, made it absolutely clear that they were not going to support our president in strengthening this nation's economy, including by providing funding for the improvement and further development of our infrastructure. They may change now. There's no question, we all know it, let's just be honest. There weren't the people, we the people, were not the only folks who had a subpopulation, had some people, many people, who hated the fact that Barack Obama was president. There were many people in the Senate and in the House who hated the fact that Barack Obama was in the White House. And in a very, very unusual situation, a very rare circumstance, their hatred of the man was more for him than for his policies. He wasn't going to get there. They made sure that they moved forward with their agenda to oppose him. And remember, we had a Republican in the White House, Senate controlled by the Republicans, House of Representatives controlled by the Republicans for 8 years, when our nation was driven into a great recession. I don't expect that to happen this time. I really don't. I don't expect that to happen. Donald Trump, I know a lot of people are very, very disappointed that he is our next president. But like I said, one of the things we need to focus on is reconciliation. I say, as long as our president-elect is saying we need to be unified, we need to be about the business of unifying now, and he didn't address that to Democrats only. He addressed that statement to Democrats and Republicans and independents. You suppose we should at least give him a chance? Give him some time, see what he talks about over the coming months. See what happens a few months after inauguration. Give him some time to see whether he will follow through on what he is saying he wants to do, unify the nation. Now, I understand he really had a lot of us concerned, especially those of us who genuinely love the people of America. And there are a lot of us who truly love the people of America. And we need to understand, when we talk about loving this nation, as I've said before, we don't need to be, we need to be more specific. I think it will help us with our attitudes. It'll help us with our hearts. It'll at least help us get a better grasp of where we really stand with regards to our relation to our nation. Very often when people say, I love this nation, There are a lot of people who love this nation. There are people like me who love this nation. For many people, that is true. We think about all the different colors of people who live in this nation. And we care so much about all the colors, all the races, all the ethnicities of this nation that we want every ethnic group to do well. And remember now, stop thinking about ethnicity as pertaining only to people of color, because ethnicity has to do with every race. There are many of us who care so much about every ethnic group that we genuinely want every ethnic group to do well, to prosper in this nation. There are many of us who care so much about both genders that we want both genders to do well in this nation. There are many of us who really don't have a problem with the wealthy being wealthy and even becoming wealthier as long as they're ethical in the way they go about obtaining their wealth. And so for many of us, of all races, both genders, all age groups, we really do want every social class in America to do well, to begin to thrive. And we don't have a problem if the wealthy continue to thrive. We just want the laws passed and business rules written that will empower the middle class and the poor to also thrive. And then, of course, we know that there are people on the flip side of that. They don't want every ethnic group to thrive. They only want one or two ethnic groups to thrive. They only want one gender to thrive. They only want one social class to thrive. And some of them are okay with every social class thriving as long as it's only people of a certain race within all of those classes thriving. Now, for those of us who genuinely love all the peoples of this nation, we really want to see all of the peoples do well. That's really what it should mean to love the nation. You're not talking about just loving the letters N-A-T-I-O-N. As I've said before, there's much that makes up this nation. Highways, bridges, lakes, oceans, trees, flowers of all kinds, small homes, huge homes, mid-sized homes, big business, small business, medium-sized business, dogs, cats, giraffes, fish, porpoises, ants, roaches. There is a lot that helps make America, America. How about coal? How about solar energy? There is so much that makes America, America, but of all that makes America, America, the people of America are most significant. And really and truly, the people who only love one or two groups of Americans and they resent, maybe even hate, despise all the other groups should not say they love the nation. They should not say they love America because that's not accurate. It's more accurate for them to say, we care about part of America. We care about some Americans, because that's what you're saying when you say, I love the nation. You're saying, I love Americans. And for some people, it's only true that they love some Americans. In order to love the nation, not part of the nation, but all of the nation, we're loving all Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, those of us who care about the nation, those of us who care about all the peoples, those of us who value forgiveness, should we give our president-elect a chance? to follow through on what he said he wants to do, unify. He will have to lead the way because he is the leader elect. But if he does lead, if he does lead the way into unifying our nation, will we be willing to follow his lead?